Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right. Happy 4th of July, if you're still allowed to say that anymore.
No,
apparently,
racist.
It's now it's a racist holiday and only Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Only Juneteenth is going to be
but
permitted.
But we're still saying Happy
but
4th
Chuck
of
Chuck and
July.
Julie will keep on saying it until they come get us, in, which they sure they will, here on Truth Straight Up.
Right.
Brought to you by BBS Radio.
BBS Radio and the folks at ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Very interesting article in there today. You got to check it out. We've been talking about former Colorado legislator Greg Brophy. Kind of suspicious activities for a conservative Republican. He's sure doing a lot of work with the Democrats. So check that out.
Yeah, we heard from our Democratic friends that he was scurrying up all kinds of money for the moderate candidates and so forth, and we didn't really want it because it was secondhand.
We didn't want to point him out, yeah.
But now he's exposed, and he's no different than the rest of them. I mean, all those on the establishment wing are so awful, and they no longer want to call themselves establishment wing. They want to call the grassroots people, and they want to be the grassroots, but they're about as grassroots as your local country club.
As your local fake grass astroturf.
Yeah,
so, hey, we're going to talk about Lauren Boebert again and her upset victory in the CD3.
And why none of them get why she won. None of them. I've read 10, 15 articles, and they're always asking either establishment people like Dick Wadhams, who I like a lot, but establishment people or Democratic ones or Republican consultants, none of which helped her, would help her, all of them hate
or
her.
Or understand
why she won. I mean, there were zero for about 40 people talking about what she won. Not one of them would have the slightest idea.
And we'll talk about that. But first, I want to bring on frequent guest on our show, who's always great, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator Mark Poff, joining us on Zoom. Hey, Mark.
He's also a school board member.
School board. Yep, Mark, go ahead and unmute yourself and bring yourself up.
Bring your lovely self up so people can see.
But wanted to talk to him about, he's in Hawaii.
Didn't you see that wearing Hawaiian shirt is now also racist?
No.
So he's got a, he's,
your culture
it
appropriating.
It is. No, it is. And they have a whole article on
what?
It.
So
I'm in trouble if Navy Blazers become racist.
So you're dog whistling out there to our audience. We know it. I can't see what to say.
He's green screening himself.
That's why we vote. That's why she won.
Want to talk to Mark about, I mean, it is indeed a very new world in law enforcement. And I mean, we could talk about this forever. But, you know, one of the things I love about you, Mark, is you call it like you see it. And you're not an apologist. Right. But on the other hand, you're also, you know, you understand.
You've been there.
Yeah. And one of the things that people are watching the news today, the Elijah McClain case has come. It's become a guy who was killed last August while in custody with the Aurora Police Department. The district attorney investigated. They cleared the officers of doing anything wrong. But in the meantime, Jared Polis
didn't like that result. I wouldn't say they said
They did not charge them.
They could not bring charges under the circumstances.
At any rate, the big news and the breaking news today is the fact that some pictures have surfaced that were taken back in October of three police officers, Aurora police officers.
One woman and two men
at the scene, at the memorial, at the site where he was killed, and there's a memorial there. And the one officer appears to be doing the choking.
Chokehold.
Yep, on the other officer. They're all smiling and laughing. The one officer resigned. The two others were fired today.
There's one, the higher IQ of the three, the one who resigned.
Preserving his pension. But and then a fourth officer also fired was an officer who the picture was sent to and texted back, ha ha. And that was one of the officers involved in the original incident. So have you had a chance to see that picture, Mark?
Oh, I haven't seen the picture, but I think I understand.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. Well, it's not a good example, so I won't give that example.
Okay.
But I can't help individuals from making poor choices.
Right.
You know, obviously, going back to the memorial, I mean, how callous to right. go back where this individual passed away and to do something stupid like that. And, you know, you just can't justify it, you know, at all. But right. again, you can't, you know, the old statement, you can't fix stupid, you know, so if they're going to do something like that, then maybe they should be doing something else. But, you know, an individual lapse of good conscience or making wise decisions, it cost them their jobs. I mean, right. so.
We relate to that, actually.
and no, I understand that.
No, we don't relate to that unless him wearing a Hawaiian shirt constitutes, you know, a crime like ours making a joke. I mean, no, we cannot.
Well, I'm not going to take the shirt off, but
no, we get fired for that.
But you know, it happens, and there's consequences to what you say and all that other stuff. But you know, really, when you talk about what's going on nationally right now with the what I refer to as the appeasement movement, which is nice everybody wants to appease a few. You know, so if I go down a street and I say, "Hey, that statute offends me for whatever reason," it's got to go. You know, things like that. It's just, and sometimes, you know, it is law enforcement. So at some point there is enforcement. And unfortunately, whenever you deal with physical actions, sometimes unfortunate events can happen. And I did get a chance to look at some of the body cam that Aurora PD did release.
Right.
And I didn't see all of it. I had to go through it relatively quick. But I mean, I see where they're coming from. They had a suspicious person. They made contact. He very quickly was very resistive and uncooperative. And, you know, if he just explained that he was heading home, where he lived, you know, what was going on, none of that would have happened. I mean, that whole incident would have been over a lot sooner. But he chose to make some decisions and, you know, what happened, happened.
It seemed to me that
let me get to the point. I mean,
the ketamine was
500 milligrams of ketamine. Yeah. You kill a cow. That's way overdosing. 50 milligrams of ketamine is considered a major dose where you ought to have somebody hooked up. You shoot somebody who's in struggling, trouble breathing with 500 kilograms.
And that wasn't the police. That was a paramedic.
No, that was a paramedic. Right, I mean, the paramedics killed him.
And I guarantee you, as many scenes that I've been on in my 17 years as a cop and a detective, they don't tell EMTs what to do.
No.
I mean, they're going to say, oh, hey, wait a minute. By the way, how many CCs are you giving this guy?
Right.
I mean, it's like, you got your business, I got mine. And actually, I did see one portion of the video where one of the cops was kind of holding him over. It seemed like they were very much concerned about his well-being, but you know, like you said, once, and I've never been on a scene that I can remember where we started giving people drugs.
Yeah.
You know, normally we're like, hey, let's get them out of here. You know, let's transport them to the hospital. And then whatever happens at the hospital, you know, if they'd have just gotten them out of there, you know, a lot of that would have probably happened at the hospital.
Right.
But
he
probably wouldn't have died without that massive overdose. Maybe he would have. You never know.
We'll never know.
And I mean, and not to excuse, I mean, the cops that taken that picture, that goes back to something we talked about before. So that whole, which I think is a big part of the problem, the cops, us versus them mentality. But what I want to say, and here, I think what's happening, I think, really concerns me. And that is, so the district attorney, the coroner determined that they couldn't determine the cause of the manner of death, right? That
it was undetermined.
Right. And so
not a homicide.
So the DA then says, okay, well, if I don't have a homicide, I can't prosecute these people. What really bothers me is when Jared Polis steps in after, not after it happened, but after all of this other stuff and after it becomes national news and people are not using it for their agenda, right? Who never even heard of Elijah McClain before all of this. And all of a sudden Polis is horrified and appoints the Democrat attorney general to investigate. Now that's all just, think for a second, does anyone have any doubt that these cops are going to be indicted by the attorney general? I mean, there's
zero.
I mean, the governor, you can't keep searching till you find out. It's so political.
Well, here's my problem with it. There's no indication that it was an inadequate investigation.
Right.
No indication that this is an unreasonable decision by him. I mean, there's no indication of what you call maladministration on behalf of the DA. And in those cases, you leave it up to the DAs. Now, if all of a sudden they were, you know, like the Duke rape case, they're tampering with evidence. They're doing all kinds of felonious things. Different deal. You need somebody right. else to go in and look at it. And that's what they did with Cooper in North Carolina. And it was valid, but here it is not. There is, you cannot read those reports and say, oh yeah, these people, Dave Young is full of it. This is no. He's virtue signaling, which is all he ever does every day.
Well, you know, in the old days in law enforcement, internal affairs, you know, were the ones that would, you know, look into a lot of this stuff if cops did stuff that might have been inappropriate. And 9 times out of 10, internal affairs was actually on your side. You felt that they kind of had your back,
right?
From the standpoint of here, let me tell you what happened. Let me show you what happened or whatever. And 9 times out of 10, you would be fine. But in this situation, this is appeasement. This is right. Polis playing to his base. He knows how it's going to end up. It's kind of like, and I'm going to make a prediction. Always good at making predictions.
Okay.
You know, the situation that happened in Atlanta. Now, they've charged this guy with murder. And if I remember right, they even said, he could be eligible for the death penalty.
Right. Yes. He could get the death penalty.
That is bogus. I mean, the whole thing is just, and they know it's not going anywhere. I mean, I predict.
Right.
But what happens is they need to appease right now because they want the riots to stop. Right. So what you do is like, hey, you tell me what you want, whatever it takes. I want to appease you and hopefully you'll stop. What they don't understand is they're not going to stop. No. That's not that whole phrase of give an inch and they'll take a mile. This is exactly what's going to happen. So they charge this cop in Atlanta and understand, you know, having been a cop for a long time, and we talked about the Devon Bailey situation on the Springs, and I openly said I had some issues, but felt that they would probably find it a legal shooting, but I think it could have been handled better. The case in Atlanta, I mean, he was following training.
Right.
And I think 9 out of 10 cops would have shot him. Yes. You know, because I mean, if you actually, I mean, here's how I'd like to kind of go through this. If you'll give me a half a minute. So you have an individual in a car passed out in the drive-thru of a Wendy's. That's going to get a response because Wendy's doesn't want to lose money. Right. So they're going to call the cops and say, hey, and if it's, you know, late at night, we know the guy's drunk. And sure enough, they show up and he's drunk. Now, when they showed up and saw that he was drunk, nobody got shot.
Right.
You know, they get him out of the vehicle. They run him. They talk to him. They run him through voluntary roadsides. Nobody gets shot. You know, at that point, they say, look, you know, you've had too much. You are DUI. So they go to place him in custody, and they start, and he resists. Nobody gets shot. He ends up fighting with them to the point where they're on the ground. Nobody gets shot. He takes a taser from him. They still don't shoot him. He runs away. They still don't shoot him. At that point, he turns around with what could have, you know, it could be that he had another weapon that they missed or whatever. He turns around and points a weapon in their direction. And I believe he actually deploys the taser.
He does. Right. You can see it.
He does. So at that point, he gets shot. That officer is following training. I mean, so to me, all the way through that process, they show restraint. You know, they don't hit him with a nightstick. You know, right. Nobody gets pepper sprayed or whatever.
Right.
But at the point that somebody turns, not even when he runs away.
Right.
At that point, they start going after him. Nobody gets shot. But when he stops and turns, he gets shot. And I'm going to say this, and it might get me in a little trouble. If that individual had happened to be white, I don't think we would have had any of this scenario.
No one could care less.
It would have been, you know, so it's the hypocrisy to me.
Right.
And I like to look at it from the standpoint of law enforcement. They're totally in a no-win situation right now. I would absolutely, if I was a cop, and this is what you're going to find as well. I know that's happening in New York City and in Minneapolis. All the cops that are eligible for retirement.
Oh,
retirement.
Actually, the eligibility, I retired after basically 12 years of full-time service. You can retire pretty quick in law enforcement because that's the way it's kind of set up because you don't want to be real old in law enforcement. So a lot of people that are on currently in law enforcement that are in their upper 40s, 50s, they're all eligible for retirement.
Right.
Why would they not say, you know what, I'm done? And I know it's happening. Minneapolis, right. New York, well, New York City.
Well, and New York also cut all the funds for any new officers. Right. So it's going to be a huge reduction in force, notwithstanding what AOC says. But going back to the Atlanta one, the one I had, the question I have about it is, and it's similar to the one down in Colorado Springs, they talked to that guy for 41 minutes.
Right.
No, it's not typical. I've been there, so no, it's not typical. And moreover, after 41 minutes, that guy assumes he's okay. You know, they say, look, he just got an opportunity. And then, boom, they go after him. After he took the breathalyzer, because they had a handheld breathalyzer, said, I'm sorry, sir, you're drunk, and we have to take you in. But they spent 41 minutes chit-chatting with the guy, so he thinks he's okay. And then all of a sudden, they're grabbing for him. And I think that's what set him off, which doesn't justify him resisting arrest or doing anything else,
right,
but it's
right. It's just like with the Devon Bailey. My biggest issue I had with that down in the Springs is that and this is what all the training tells you to do. This is a felony contact. Now, it wasn't in the DUI case, but we'll get back to Atlanta. But down in Colorado Springs, this is a felony contact. They've been told that he has a gun. As soon as they made contact with him, you know, why are they having a negotiation?
Right.
They should
have
pointed all their weapons at him. They should have got him in the dirt, as they always say. They should have handcuffed him on the ground, and nobody would have been hurt.
Yes.
But because they appeased,
yes,
and they're handling things with kit gloves, which is what all law enforcement's doing right now, more people are going to get hurt. And Atlanta's the same thing. Had they been a little, I don't want to say heavy-handed, but had they kind of gone by protocol that as soon as they knew that they're going to place him in custody, they should have gone over there with, I don't want to say with the expectation. It's like plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Right.
But they tell you in training, everything's good until you lay on hands.
Yeah.
If someone's going to fight you, typically when you, and that's exactly what happened in this case. As soon as they put hands on him, that's when he started to resist. So, and another thing that concerns me is they're trying to take away all the non-lethal tools that law enforcement have. Law enforcement needs more tools, not less tools. So if I've got my little bat utility belt or whatever, and I've got a dozen things to choose from, you know, that are all non-lethal, then maybe we can de-escalate. Let me tell you, there's certain times that if you use a taser, that can be a de-escalation.
Yeah.
But if you don't, like an old school, all a cop had was basically handcuffs and a gun. So that's my choice.
And
we want to go away from all these things that don't look, you know,
dangerous. Because everybody's got cameras. You know. Well, let me ask you this, though, Mark. Like you said, to me, and you know, we've been plenty critical many times of law enforcement on this show. But to me, what seems basically unfair, if I'm a cop on the street, like for instance, the picture we were talking about at the beginning of the show, taken at the Elijah McCain, that was taken in October. Nobody had a problem with it until Brian Moss from Channel 4.
No, anybody, that's not a good look.
Well, but what I'm saying,
though, laughing and mocking somebody who died where he did, that is never a good look.
But let me finish my point. My point is, though, I bet a year ago those cops wouldn't have been fired.
They would have been suspended.
The cop in Atlanta wouldn't be facing the death penalty.
I bet
a year ago, the cops in Aurora wouldn't have the governor intervening and telling the attorney general to indict him. That to me, and if you're a cop, you got to go out every day and you're like, okay, well, what are the rules today? Mm-hmm. Right? And
well, it doesn't matter if the rules are today. What are the rules 2 months?
It doesn't matter. That's exactly right. There are no rules now. And so, you know, I will tell you this, you know, cops know going into the profession that they could put their life on the line. And I know for me on 9/11, on D-9/11, I had a guy pull an assault rifle on me that we ended up fighting for. And so I get it. But you always go into these things knowing that, you know what, I could get hurt, but I know that my department and the community is going to have my back. You know, when I do something that I have to, and it doesn't go perfect, because let me tell you, it's just Murphy's Law definitely applies to law enforcement.
You
can do everything right and the end result could still be bad, you know, and you're like, how did that happen? You know, I treated everybody with respect. You know, I did everything. I did my de-escalation. I did everything according to training, and something bad happened. But you have to know at the end of the day, oh, I hate that term. I can't believe I just said it. but you have to know that they're going to have your back. And you know, and I've had issues.
Isn't that the problem?
Well, that's part of the problem too.
You talk about internal affairs being on your side 9 out of 10 times. Internal affairs have become so notorious and so deemed as corrupt and worthless that there's no purpose for them anymore, other than to get police officers off. Yeah, rubber stamps off. And you know, I can tell you, let's say attorney discipline. You know, they operate on, we better discipline a lot of attorneys, because if they don't, they'll take it away from us. And internal affairs has become viewed as a joke, just as you described it. Here's what happened to you. Don't ask, don't tell me what happened. Here's what happened. And that's the whole problem. And I have no trust in internal affairs, nor should anybody else.
Right. And you are correct. It's the most important thing in all of this is that the cops, the bad cops, the few bad cops,
right,
need to be doing something else. Yeah. And the one thing that I have to admit as well, and we kind of got to it last time I was on your show, is the code of silence. And I'll tell you, I was there. You know, I remember one of my first times when I was back in training, when I got in the car, my instructor, trainer, whatever, my field training, hey, just let you know, whatever happens in this car stays in this car. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm hoping we're not going to do anything that you wouldn't do in front of the sheriff, you know, and all of a sudden he was no longer my FTO and I had somebody else, because he felt that I wasn't willing, you know, to keep. Yeah. And that night he blew through some red lights and he did some other stuff I didn't like,
right?
You know, and so we do need to end the code of silence. I don't want to say that law enforcement doesn't need to make some changes, because, and I think I told you this last time, there were some great examples, even in the El Paso County Sheriff's Office where I was at, where we all would sit around and say, you know what? That guy is going to be the guy. That guy's going to shoot somebody. That guy's going to, and sure enough, that guy shot someone.
Yep.
Right.
And sure enough, that guy arrested two black kids when we were looking for two white kids, and we had a huge settlement,
right,
and ended up he got fired. So, you know, we know who these guys are. And we do need to clean house. We do need, and it is less than 1%. I mean, it's a small portion.
But it doesn't matter if it's 1%, because as you pointed out, 500 robberies. Well, how many robbers were involved in 500? You know, 10 maybe, you know, I mean, they're just.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I always say the statement, it takes a lot of people to build, very few to destroy.
Right.
And it's the same thing in law enforcement, is you can have 1,000 great cops that really care about the community. All it takes is one,
right,
to just, like the one in Minneapolis,
right,
you know, and here's the part that really kills me about this guy, because I shouldn't use that as a bad word, is, you know, that he was actually a field training officer, and one of the guys was like his third day on the job.
Oh, God.
That was his, that the guy who did that, the cop that did that, was his training officer.
Oh, wow.
The people that you, I mean, the people that you make training officers, those are the ones that you say, look, lead by example.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so if Minneapolis PD was having this guy be, you know.
They were leading by example. Yeah. Undoubtedly, they were leading by example.
And so there's some serious problems, but, you know, defunding, which is probably, you know, I know we talked about that a little bit earlier, Julie.
Right.
I took a great offense to that. I don't really get out on social media very much. But when some friends of mine were actually saying, hey, you know, we need to talk about this whole defund the police, my head exploded.
Yeah.
And it's because they don't really understand what the term means. It means all cops are racist. We need to get rid of them.
Right. Well, let me ask you,
and
though,
that's just.
And as you said, and let me ask this sort of on a practical level, because I did want to kind of get to that. And then also, you've got a conspiracy theory that no Shoshana.
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory.
Right,
it's a logical conclusion.
So that's a
game plan.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, here's the thing, because, I mean, I was married to a cop. I did it like a mazillion ride along. So I've seen what it looks like. And I can tell you, this whole concept of having social workers, like send out people, not police officers, armed police officers, but social workers to respond to things. What a joke, right? Because when people call you, it's not as if, oh, Chuck, it's a domestic dispute. That's you and Julie sit down and kind of have a talk about that. No, Chuck's going to shoot you, the social worker, and then you're going to have to, I mean.
Well, that wouldn't.
he wouldn't, but I mean, talk about that a little bit.
There's so many problems with that, and understand, you know, I always say this, people think that cops are like, they can't get any better jobs. Most of the people that are in law enforcement have college degrees. My daughter's a cop. She has a master's degree. They're highly educated, but you expect them to come in and solve what took 5 years to get to in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, but if you get in there, and this is what I still teach, you really don't know what you're going to get. You have no idea who you're about to deal with. Right. You send in a social worker and all of a sudden, cause I've gone on some calls where at first I'm just like, oh, this is going to be no big deal. I'm going to talk to this guy. I'm going to tell him, you know, and then next thing I know I'm fighting with him.
Right.
You know, so you have to have all the tools available. This whole concept of we'll send out for like domestics,
right,
which are one of the most volatile calls there is. And we're going to send a couple, you know, 22-year-old volunteer social workers that just got out of college from back east at some liberal college. And they're going to go out here and tell this guy, hey, let me explain to you the downsides of hitting your wife.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just what you need.
Well, I want to ask you about that. There was a famous Supreme Court case where I think it was Fairfax, Connecticut. I think it was Fairfax, would give all incoming officers IQ tests. And anybody who scored above 110 was prohibited from joining the police force. And
it was a state patrol, though.
And they said, you know, quite frankly, most of these guys are going to be bored out of their mind. They're, you know, right. In Glendale, you know, we had some incident, and you know, we had some jerk consultant said, look, why don't you mandate just college graduates and everything will be okay? And I said, why don't we mandate that no one who went to college, because if you didn't go to college, the good jobs, got a good pension, you're grateful for the job. You go, hey, I want to do well and everything else. And you take all you get all these people with Mensa degrees, they'll figure out how to rip off the pension plans. I mean, that's what they're going to be doing.
I will tell you this, and this might get me in a little bit of trouble. Typically, the real brainiacs don't make for the best cops.
No, they don't.
Smart ones, because I would tell you there's two skills that you really need, to be a great cop. One is you have to have great common sense. Does it make sense to you? When someone tells you something like, that don't make sense, they're probably lying to you. And the second is the ability to communicate.
Right.
And what I always said was the guy that I fear the most is the one that has nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I can negotiate with anybody and find out what motivates them. And then, you know, I had to do very little fighting when I was a cop, because the art of persuasion, you know, the whole skill of telling someone to go to hell and having them looking forward to the trip. I mean, that's kind of, you know, a great cop is one that uses common sense and communicates a lot more than they ever use force. Now, you'll find some cops, just like anything else, that just want to get in there and scrap, and they typically don't last long.
Right. Well, but back to the whole, you know, sending social workers out. Another thing I noticed in the ride alongs is, number one, people, there's alcohol involved, there are drugs involved. And as you said, you don't
with know the officers?
With the people. I remember one time I was on a ride along, and it was a domestic, and it was a fairly calm domestic, right? So the cops get there, and I'm just kind of standing in the background, back in the day when you could still do that. And it was a couple, they were engaged, right? They were having kind of a fight. And so the cops were talking to him, doing just what you said. They were kind of like, look, you know, we don't want anybody to go to jail here, blah, 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 right? And then in the middle of it, it seemed like everything was fine. The woman takes off this giant diamond ring, heaves it over the balcony into some like trash area where they're never going to find it again. And the guy turns to her and he went, you know, and all of a sudden the entire situation changed. And
right.
To me, it's kind of like if you're like you said, a 22-year-old social worker volunteer, now you got to call the cops. I mean, it's just, to me, it's like
if he attacks her?
Right.
I mean, I know on a case one time, we had it resolved, started to leave. And then when I was walking away, I heard her yell out and we went back. After we left, he like hit her.
Yeah.
You know, so... We all went back in and had to deal with the situation. So the problem is you need all your tools available, and you need to be prepared for anything. It's kind of like you need to be a Boy Scout. Always be prepared.
Right.
And when you bring in a social worker, I mean, whenever it's like sending a dog catcher and only giving them certain tools, and then he realizes that wasn't a dog, it's a lion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you need to be able to deal with every situation, which is what cops are trained for.
Right.
Trust me, after the cops de-escalate everything, we can bring a social worker in.
Right.
You know, later on and deal with it when things have settled down. Because you're not going to resolve it that night. It takes counseling. It takes all kinds of stuff. There's a place, a time and a place for a social worker. It's not on the front line battle.
The 911 call.
I mean, you need someone who can deal. I actually, one of my first complaints in law enforcement was someone complained that I was too big. And I was like, you know, I am kind of a big guy. And I was there on an animal complaint.
Okay.
And she said, you should actually send out small cops for small cases. He should only work murders and homicides because he's a big guy. And I'm like, that's not how it works. You got to be trained for everything, you know, but a lot of it just has to do with the fact that they don't understand. I mean, I would so encourage people to do ride-alongs. But if you're understanding,
well, let me tell you about ride-alongs. When I was in college, I had a good couple of guys who were in the local police force, and so I went on a couple ride-alongs with them. Those were not the Julie ride-alongs. Those were the ride-alongs.
What does that mean?
Well, because they're nice. They're not planning stuff. They're not. They have the drugs in the car to plant. They have the gun in case they kill somebody and claim.
Yeah.
Well, where have you been? You know, what okay, well, police missed... force? Well, they just finished with Houston, where they had the exact same thing. The narcotics head would go to every case. Every time he'd say there was a gun, he took all the drugs which are in his car, planted them. The idea that that doesn't happen is amazing to me. It happens all the time. You may not have done it. But if you think that doesn't happen in big city police forces, you need to go to some big city police forces and watch them work. It happens all the time.
I'd like to live in my little world where I never saw any of that, but I know it does happen.
Yeah.
And obviously, I've seen bad cops. In fact, I didn't. I probably should have told you guys. I actually had someone from CBI who called me up and harassed me just here recently. And this is another event that happened since the last time I was on your show.
Oh, wow.
And he was confused and thought that that I was somehow, I asked some questions about him or something. So he was calling me up and basically harassing me, saying, I want to know why you're asking questions about me. So the investigators don't like to be investigated.
No.
But that's a whole separate,
subject. Right.
But I would tell you that you know, 99% of cops all wanted. I got into law enforcement. I was an engineer. I was making good money. I wanted to go into law enforcement because it was something I always wanted to do. And I have to tell you, when I finally retired, I was disheartened because of some corruption. We all know about Bill Elder and the sheriff down in El Paso County and how corrupt he is, and Dan May as a district attorney. So I'm with you that there is corruption in law enforcement. And they need to be exposed and they need to be prosecuted.
But I think they're not with politics being, I mean, that's my concern now. And as you said, and it's appeasement, right? You don't need to take a hammer and smash police
departments.
I think that, you tell me, if you're a cop, Mark, we saw the picture of the couple, whatever city it was, where they had the guns, you know, I mean, they called 911 and no one came.
Yeah, so good luck, huh?
Right. And so, I mean, if I'm a cop right now, you know, like tomorrow's 4th of July, you know, there are going to be 8 million like fireworks complaints and stuff, right? If I'm a cop, I'm like, la, 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 busy. I mean, it's, you go to something and you could end up at the end of your shift facing the death penalty.
Well, and that's exactly right, is because, you know, they don't feel like that they're being, I don't want to say protected. That's not the right word. They just don't think that things are being fair.
Right.
You're going to find a lot of cops tomorrow. They're going to be using the term UTL, unable to locate. but the problem is, you know, they have GPS chips in every one of the patrol cars now.
Yeah, right.
They know where they're at.
Yeah.
They tell them to go there. And what they're going to do is they're going to be safe about it. So no one's going to be driving over the speed limit to get to any shootings anymore. They're going to be driving at a safe speed, make sure that everything's okay. And they're going to make sure that everything, you know, so that is the problem, is that you're going to have a lot of people in the public. Because, I mean, I have to tell you, I was a little concerned when I saw that video with him coming out with an AR.
Yeah.
And one of my first concerns, to be honest with you, is they said there was like 300 people. And the first thing I thought was, well, that's only a 30-round magazine. You know,
maybe he's got a couple extra clips.
I mean, I was concerned. You know, if you cannot rely on law enforcement and all of these idiots in politics, or in our government, who say that we don't need all those guns, you know, out there in law-abiding citizens' hands. Well, that's because they don't need it, because they have armed security. Every one of these hypocrites that are saying that, you know, that they don't want any of those guns out there and we want to defund the police. They're spending all this money on private security.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I saw that.
So they're not worried. And
that's kind of what these two did was they did their own private security. And now look what's happening is the prosecutor has come right out and said, I'm going for them.
For them, exactly.
You know, because what they did was wrong. And I'm like, well, what do you expect them to do? If you call 911 and you know they're not going to show up,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
And you got people saying, we're going to come kill you and your dog. It's not like, yeah, these are not nice. Well, let me go.
You had your turn.
I was going to go to the conspiracy here.
No, not quite yet.
Okay.
The problem is, and it's universal across all public sectors, public sector unions are a disaster. With teachers, you can never get...
We just gave him more power in Colorado, though.
Who?
Polis.
Well, I'm sure he would, because he's an idiot. But the public sector unions in teachers, you can't get rid of a bad teacher, and you can't reward a good one. And so what happens is you get, they drop out. In police work, I mean, Denver, try to get rid of a bad cop. You know, I mean, even the worst ones get reinstated 10 years later by some district judge. I mean, the whole system is set up, at least ostensibly, to be, you know, fair and everything else. It's quickly corrupted. The unions have every reason to learn how to rig the system.
And the politicians are
cool. Well, they don't care. They don't care. They could care less. You know, just give the benevolent society to give me some money. But they got to get rid of, or at least greatly tap down, the union presence for police officers and their ability to stop any kind of the good cops going, hey, this guy's bad.
You know, unions are very interesting because in the state of Colorado for like law enforcement, really they're associations which they have no authority, no power. But again, the whole Minneapolis thing, because I'm all about hypocrisy, not about against hypocrisy. All about hypocrisy. But in Minneapolis, I find it interesting because typically liberal Democrats are all for unions. I mean, especially the teachers unions and others. Yes. And I get it. That's their gig. I get it. But then in this case, in Minneapolis, they're the ones saying, hey, the big issue here with our cops are the unions.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought you love unions.
Right.
So what's your problem? Because I agree with you, Chuck, that, you know, unions had their place. Right. You know, back when employees were being very mistreated.
Yes.
If you're fair to your people, to your employees or whatever, there's really no reason for a union. But you're right. If really the one thing we should learn out of all of this is we need to weed out the bad cops.
Right.
That is the foundation that everybody, and that's the whole thing that I don't understand about all these riots and stuff.
Right.
We all agree.
Right.
Well, I mean, everybody agrees what we need to fundamentally make changes, but we need to be careful. And this is my conspiracy theory
Go there.
We need, the feds need to stay out of this. You know, they're all trying to do that. They want to do these federal mandates or laws. Okay. Like chokeholds is a good example. They want to ban nationally chokeholds. Chokeholds have been banned in most law enforcement agencies for years.
Yeah.
You know, we need to standardize training. Well, I got news for you. Post certification has been required for years, and it's every state in the union. We've had certified, you know, standardized training basically throughout the nation. But the problem is, and I think behind all this, I think the reason that a lot of these liberal Democrat mayors are letting things go to hell in a handbasket is because they want to show basically, I mean, why would law enforcement ever abandon a substation?
I
don't get that. Hey, this is our castle. Let's give it up and walk out. But I think this is all a big, this is my conspiracy for nationalized law enforcement, you know, where they want that power grab. And you've seen it from maybe from Polis too, but from Pelosi and others and Schumer, that they want to up here at the federal level, they want to control your entire life. They want to tell you everything you can and can't do. And first off, if you have guns, that's bad.
No guns.
And then I want to be able to tell law enforcement everywhere how to do their jobs.
Yeah.
Right. And I was telling you, you know, there are sanctuary cities right now when it comes to immigration.
Right.
Well, it may switch, you know, when the Democrats become in power and they try to nationalize a lot of this stuff. There could be sanctuary cities the other way. There could be sheriffs, you know, just like in California, we were talking earlier, where you know, the governor said, we're going to shut down the beaches, which is like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, you're out in the open. Everything's, you know, the spread out there is low. And sheriffs are saying, we're not going to enforce it.
Right. You're right. But if you have a
When you have all of these small agencies throughout the nation, that helps kind of checks and balances, local control, which is really what we should all be talking about. Small government, local control. Right. I want to be able to talk to my local city or whatever and talk about law enforcement. I don't want them to say, well, you need to go talk to the, you know, the attorney general of to bar.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's not how it works. So I think really the reason, well, they also want it to fall apart because they don't want Trump to get reelected.
Right. Yeah, but I think you're right, though. I think they would like to nationalize it. And I know Polis, I mean, look at what happened, right? And why somebody, maybe it'll come up in the defense, but it just seems wrong to me that the governor could say, I don't like that DA's decision, so I'm going to appoint my guy to do his investigation.
But that happened in North Carolina with the Duke rape case. They eventually took it away from the corrupt prosecutor and they gave it to who is now governor, but back then he was attorney general. And he looked at it and said, this is bull. and he said, no, they are innocent and we're going to indict you. So there are cases we can take away. But this isn't one of those cases.
But in that case, it's because the DA is corrupt. Is there any indication? Because I'm all for that. I would love for someone to investigate Dan May over the Tom Clements murder.
I would love it.
That's because you're investigating that person.
Right.
In this case, what they're saying is, I don't like your decision, so we're going to.
Well, there's no indication that he did anything wrong or he threw evidence out, or there's no evidence of wrongdoing at all. But here's the
But you're right though, because I think what Polis would like to do, because they're going to probably have the CBI investigated.
If you want some corrupt cops, you can just get the CBI in there.
Well,
they'll know.
I will tell you, in most cases, CBI cops or most of them who work for CBI couldn't get on a regular force.
Yes, that's right.
So
I
would tell you, I have issues.
But here's the thing. They're going to do what Polis tells them to do, right? Because the head of the CBI who hires them is appointed by Polis. At least, like you said, number one, you want local control anyway. But at least when you have local control, you can say, I don't like what the sheriff is doing. I don't like what they're elected officials, even the coroner.
Right.
And you can move out of the town. You can go someplace else.
Right,
and also,
correct.
If you think you're going to, you know, get rid of petty, small.
Let's hand it over to the governor.
Let's head to FBI. I mean, you saw what they did to Flynn, right? And you kind of go, So if we go to the FBI, we can be assured that, you know, there'll be no corruption. They're untouchable.
Totally.
Yeah. What a joke. What a joke.
I really would like to bring in Comey and see if he could, like, do an investigation or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's whenever you'd like to think that the one organization that you're not being political is law enforcement.
Right.
I mean, it should all be black and white from, you know, it's either a crime or it's not a crime. But I will tell you, unfortunately, a lot of district attorneys, they look at the scorecard as opposed to doing what's right.
Right.
And, you know, in this case, I mean, that's why they refer to it as an in custody death, is because he passed away while he was in custody. That case is so much different. I mean, me personally, and I would rather they look at the Devon Bailey case before, in the video. And like I said, I had to kind of scan through it. I couldn't really watch every second of every body cam. I didn't see anything that I saw that was malicious in any way.
Right.
Well, and again, it was the paramedic. Right, but nobody wants to be against paramedics because they're a first responders. I mean, and I'm not a paramedic, don't get me wrong, but they're the beloved paramedics who gave him really
500 milligrams
of ketamine.
You just stepped on one of my biggest landmines.
Okay.
When I was a cop, was during what I refer to as the 9/11 phase of law enforcement.
Okay.
Everybody loved me. I was a hero, not because I did anything, but because I was a cop after 9/11. I mean, people would come to me and they'd say, hey, thanks for your service. Just like with the military and stuff. Thanks for your service. Like if I was in uniform, you know, thanks for your service. Constantly. Now law enforcement is in this post George Floyd, you know, phase where every cop's a racist. And I'm like, the cops haven't changed.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't go from hero to zero in one day. you know, all these cops, the vast majority of them, they're all wanting to do what's right. And, you know, just like nurses and EMTs, you know, everybody loves a fireman, but you know what? They don't run into burning houses that often anymore.
No, they never. The Phoenix model.
I mean, I hate to say that. The real heroes today are your nurses and your doctors and actually the people stocking the shelves at Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
They're really kind of the ones doing it now. But I want to know what happened to law enforcement that we all became racist because nothing changed.
Right. Well, what changed is, again, Trump. Right. You've got, I keep saying it's the uniparty and you have cowardly Republicans not standing up. Like you said, they know
what happened also is body cams before the police officer gave his version of it. And you'd come, oh, that sounds reasonable. And then now you have body cams going, no,
but you know,
it doesn't even matter with the body cam. I was going to say, it doesn't even matter really in some cases what the body cams. I mean, that helps.
No, well, that's taken away a lot of people who thought, you know, law enforcement's always, you know, I'm a law enforcement, perfect, and they go, whoa.
But I think, though, I think that, Mark, though, the Dems, as you said, they want to be sowing chaos.
Yes,
they want riots. Oh, they want disruption.
It's to their advantage. It's completely to their advantage. And that's why they're kind of doing this fine line where they're like, oh, I love cops, but I'm all about defunding.
Right, kind of defunding.
You know, I mean, Biden is just so playing this, you know, someone needs to ask him a real question.
Well,
Well, he couldn't answer it.
You know, wake up.
They're asking him for this cognitive test. Yeah. Well, oh, you take them all the time. Why? I mean, I don't. Why are you taking cognitive tests all the time?
I keep taking that driving test over again.
Yeah, driving tests all the time.
You know, there's a reason he's taking it over and over again.
Mark,
but I just really, my heart goes out to all the individuals in law enforcement that have dedicated their lives, just like EMTs, just like nurses,
right?
You know, and other firemen,
and podcasters,
true heroes of the American way.
I mean, it's just, you know, really, they've gone for jobs that are not going to make them tons of money, and they're really dedicated to doing this. And right now, they're really getting the short end of the stick, and they're a lot of them are going to get hurt because of this craziness. And I'll tell you one last thing that, you know, I've trained a lot of cops. I've probably trained over 600-700 cops in my career as an instructor for a post academy. And I stay in touch with a few that, you know, that I really like, you know, I mean, it's like anything else as a teacher, there's certain students you love. And a few of them are obviously Black. And I had one and I called them, one of my friends who works in the Denver area. I obviously won't tell you what agency he's with or anything. And I just said, man, what is your thought? I mean, I can't really relate, you know, as a Black cop, you know, what are you thinking all this? He thinks it's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, his response was, Mark, he goes, you know, I've been a cop for a couple of years now. He goes, I haven't seen anybody treat me any differently at my agency. He goes, I've never felt so welcome, you know, and I haven't really seen any racism in the agency. Now, he's probably seen it out on the street a little bit. I mean, it's a different game there. But he's very, I mean, I think you're finding that there's probably a lot of Black cops right now that are really hurt over this because they've really tried to make a career for themselves in a profession that they love.
Yeah.
And it's all being thrown out, you know, over a few bad cops.
And a political agenda. Nope, exactly.
Right.
Well, Mark, thanks so much for coming on. And, you
you're
know,
great as you're always.
You're wonderful as always. And love the wine shirt.
I'm going to have to figure out how this is bad.
Just Google it. Just Google Hawaiian shirts and racism, and you'll get it.
Hey, it's Friday afternoon. I'm drinking my Dr. Pepper. I love my Dr. Pepper.
This segment brought you. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Terrific. Great to talk with you.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
Okay, right, take care.
Hey, that's real quick. I want to tell folks about Synagenix.
Yeah. Well, talk about this is the perfect time of year to get ready for this fall. The fall is coming. The bounce back from Corona, I don't think is coming. But how do you get yourself so you're feeling great, you're feeling the best you can possibly be? Well, Synagenix, they do age management. And the day after you go in there, you're kind of, hey, I'm on a good trail.
Right.
And so you want to call Julie McCallum up at Synagenix here in Denver. It's 720-387-3681. She'll give you a free consultation, no obligation, nothing else. And you'll you'll find out there's so much you can do for yourself, and she can help you do it. So that's Cenegenics, Cenegenics, 720-387-3681. You think I'd memorize that by now, but you'd really be glad you did. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent
you. That's right. All right, so now kind of to wrap the show up, and people can feel free, if you're on Zoom and you want to chime in, just go ahead and unmute yourself, and you can chime in if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. If you're listening at home and you're like, hey, I want to do the Zoom thing, this is the Zoom meeting number. All you got to do is go to zoom.com and type this in, 209-576-423. That's 209-576-423, and you can join us on Zoom as well. But wanted to talk about something fun, and that is Lauren Boebert, well, right? Okay. The upset victory. Although we had George Anthonisopoulos on the show, and he had called it. And Chuck, you had said, let me ask you your analysis. And you said everyone is saying, oh, you know, here's why she won, blah blah blah, and they're all wrong.
Well, they're all saying, well, she was. She's spunky. That's it. Yeah, she's spunky.
It's that spunkiness.
Or she did a great job of going to talk radio. Now, we had her on our program. Right. I thought she was great. I know a lot of other people who come on our program every other one. And they didn't win. They didn't come close to winning.
Yeah.
She won because she had a ground game. And that made all the difference in the world.
And by ground game, you mean?
They went out, knocked on doors, and collected ballots.
Right.
If you are running against an opponent who collects ballots and you don't, you are going to lose 9 times out of 10.
S. Scott Tipton.
She had 100 people out there in Pueblo and in Grand Junction going out and convincing people that Lauren was the real thing. Even a lot of them unaffiliated, because they're unaffiliated.
Well, and
they found out, hey, this is a person who likes Lauren. And Lauren doesn't hide who he is.
No. I mean,
the stupid Denver Post says that, well, you know, Trump is slowing her down. Well, she's more Trumpian than Trump, I can tell you that. She backs down nothing.
Well,
she said that, you know, as far as Mount Rushmore is concerned, no, it doesn't need to go down, but it needs to have one more space, and that's for Trump. She's feisty, and she's right on, but Trump doesn't slow her down in the least. In fact, the best thing Trump has in Colorado is her, because she has a ground game, and he doesn't have one here. And neither does Cory Gardner, who, where he's at, I don't know. Got me, but that time in which Lauren Boebert went around all the biggest areas, because it's probably close to half of Colorado, because there are only a couple larger towns. What did Cory Gardner do? Zippo! Did he open one office? None. Did he start a volunteer army? Well, he did. He has got a call. Hey, you want to? No, I don't want to.
Well,
it's amazing.
Wasn't.
I mean,
and here's the thing too, because I want to set the record straight. Because you read, because again, it is. Everything you read, it's like Brian Jundep said on our show, everything you read or hear on the news is designed for one thing, if it's mainstream, and that is to get Trump, make him lose,
right?
Everything is skewed through that little prism right?
Yep.
So I was reading an article in the Colorado Sun, which is usually pretty good.
No, they're biased as hell. They do a good job in a sense if you have a biased reporter who actually checks, you know.
I mean, they cover stuff, right?
They aren't doing stupid
things. But even they said they're quoting all of these establishment people who say, well, you know, Cory Gardner and Lauren Boebert are going to have a really tough time because Trump, you know, he's just plummeted things. Okay, here are the facts, okay? When Trump lost in Colorado, which he did, he lost by roughly 5 percentage points, right? That is the best a Republican has done in Colorado since before 2008. In 2012, Mitt Romney lost in Colorado.
Right.
He lost by a bigger margin, more than 5% than Trump. And in 2008, when McCain ran, he lost by almost 9%. So moderate, if that's putting it mildly, Rhino McCain was crushed in Colorado by Obama, right? Trump has done better than any of the other Republicans in recent memory. But if you read the mainstream media, if you even listen to the establishment places, and I like the folks at Magellan Strategies, but they're like, oh yeah, it's the Trump factor.
Well, George Brocker thought he lost because of Trump.
Yeah.
You kind of go, did you have a ground game?
No.
And again, did anybody have a ground game? Did the governor have a ground game?
Here's the other thing. And Trump supporters, no one has talked to Trump supporters as, oh, yeah, I'll never vote for him again.
No, I don't know a single one.
No. And so if anything, the enthusiasm of Trump supporters has grown, right?
But here's the real question coming into the fall. Now, in 2018, for the first gay governor, the gay community was excited about electing him.
Jared Polis.
And so they had an army, enlisted the normal army, even a bigger army, and they had Polis's money. Will that be there again? I have a feeling it will be. But
for Polis?
For Biden.
Yes.
Because, you know, you still have the CEA, you still have Planned Parenthood, you still have SEIU, you still have a lot of others,
the
normal ones.
The green.
Right. And does Trump have anyone?
No, how he's got to win. Exactly.
And there, you know, it's almost too late to do it. I mean, you got to, if you're harvesting ballots, and I've harvested ballots, you can't go on election day and say, are you going to vote? You have to have been there 2 or 3 months earlier, made some kind of rapport, made some
then
kind of contact. And
but Chuck, we're trying to be hopeful.
Why am I hopeful? It's possible. Lauren Boebert won. She had this huge section of Colorado, and at least there's some ground game because she's doing it.
Right.
And the rest of them, and including Cory Gardner. I mean, have you heard hide nor hair of Cory Gardner other than some press release?
He's saving his commercials.
No, you know, he's saving his negative commercials. I mean, woo, woo.
Yeah.
No ground game, and they don't ever get it. And
they want to blame Trump. And so that's,
but if somebody like Lauren Boebert can do it, with she had over 100 volunteers out in those two cities collecting ballots and calling people and collecting and finding out which unaffiliated are hers. I mean, She wouldn't appeal to everybody. She had to find those people she'd appeal to.
And she did.
They were unaffiliated.
Well, and you look at what the due date too late people did also with volunteers.
Well, that
right?
was a Catholic church.
Well, but still it was volunteers, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, again, they want to fool you. They want to make you seem like, oh, there's no hope and it's all Trump and Trump is orange man bad, right?
Right.
But that's not true. So don't
orange
let
man fool. Not bad.
No, and he's the only salvation, really. And don't let them discourage you.
And send some money to her. We're going to send some money. To make Colorado, was it recall
Orange.
Colorado?
No,
recall
no.
Colorado. Send some money to Lauren Boebert, and send some money to Trump, and you'll be happy you did.
That's right.
Those are the three. I'm not giving it so these yo-yos up in Weld County who won with all Hillary Clinton's money, they can spend money on those people.
No, not going to do it. That is another sign, right? So don't believe in what they say about Trump. Trump, again, he lost by the smallest margin.
But he might lose by a big margin because they'll have a bigger ground game than they had in 2016. And will we have any ground game? My guess is no.
It's not the Trump effect.
Well, it is a Trump effect in the sense that it's not he isn't unpopular, but the Republican Party either doesn't have resources, the energy, the time, or the smarts that Lauren Boebert has.
So just go with her.
And
ride on her coattails.
That's right.
Hey, that's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Mark Poff for joining us. Thank you to the folks at BBS. Thank you to everybody listening in on Zoom and on the podcast. If you miss a podcast, what you can always do is go to chuckandjulie.com and all of the podcasts are there. Sometimes it's going to link you to our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you like and subscribe us there.
That'd be really helpful. And if you doesn't cost you any money, just helps us.
Get
the word out.
And if you're listening, if you listen on Apple iTunes, go ahead and rate and review. You can also, if you've called in or if you're a guest like Mark Poff, you can rate and review yourself too. So
yeah,
give yourself a good thumbs up. So thank you, everybody. Happy 4th of July. It is still America. It is still the greatest
country. For the time being.
Yeah, it's still the greatest country.
Bye, everybody. Have a great 4th of July.